You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, Pelicans fans. You are in the home stretch with opening night just 2 days away on Wednesday. I'm your host of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Jake Madison here at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'm a writer for bourbonstreetshots.com as well. We're going to have a lot of stuff up there for you this week as we lead into the season opener against the Nuggets at home in the Smoothie King Center, with another big game against the Golden State Warriors on Friday at home as well. That's going to be a fun one to be at for sure. Kevin Durant's first road game. I got a big week for you all. We're going to do a bunch of different things with no preseason games to recap today. I'm going to depress you. It's Monday. No one likes Mondays. Let's just keep it a downer, I guess, and talk about where the Pelicans are going to struggle this year. There's a couple of areas that I think, it's, you know, everyone kind of knows, but we want to dive into a little bit deeper on. So where the Pelicans are going to struggle. Tomorrow, we'll go more uplifting as we get closer to the opener. I'm going to talk about where the Pelicans are going to do well, and there's definitely some bright spots for this team and reasons to have hope. Wednesday, we're going to give you a season preview of the opening game against the Nuggets. You know, what to expect, what should we take away. Thursday, we'll recap that game. I'm going to touch on the small lineup that day that I've got an article coming out probably next week on bourbonstreetshots.com about, to give you an idea of where that small lineup and Anthony Davis at center is going to kind of fit in with everything. I'm not too high on it, to give you a bit of a preview with that. Friday, we're also going to then preview the Warriors game for you. You know, that's going to be a very fun one. Do the Pelicans have a chance of winning? And if they don't win, can they play well against this team that everyone's expecting to make the NBA Finals? That's going to be the week going forward. I'm really excited for it. I hope you are as well. And we'll jump into all of that in just a moment. Now, there's some breaking news of the day, actually, for the Pelicans. Before I get to that and tell you what that is, I want to mention a new promotion we've got going on for our Locked On Pelicans listeners, and it's going to be with BetDSI.com. And I know you all love basketball. Tons of you are football fans, whether that's the NFL and the Saints or college and LSU, and you definitely need to check out BetDSI.com. They've been in business for over 20 years. They're top-rated. They're safe. I actually use this myself personally. You know, I put some money on Alabama to win with my girlfriend Brittany, being a huge Alabama fan, and they paid out for me, so I was quite happy to see them get that 19-point win just for that reason only. You know, they've got a great special for basketball for you all. If you sign up today, you'll get $10 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering 100% bonus on your first deposit. It's free money. You definitely want to take advantage of it. This is much better and safer than daily fantasy. They have great customer service if you run into any issues. Like I said, fast and easy payments when you're winning. It was wonderful just to cash that out right away. There's hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. You can also even get odds on UFC. And if you want to bet on the election for Trump versus Clinton, you can do that as well. It's pretty interesting to see all the prop bets and everything they have out there. They've got live in-game wagering on all football and basketball and any other major sporting events. And basically, you can just play anything you want at BetDSI.com. And it's pretty great site for it. So go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Use the promo code Pelicans10. Pelicans10 to get your free wager and start winning today. Have some fun. You know, make these games a little bit more interesting for yourself. So Pelicans news of the day, this just broke a few minutes ago, right before I started recording, so I guess I timed this pretty well, is they had one final roster cut to make today, and today is the deadline at 5 p.m. Eastern to get to your 15-man rosters for the season. So the Pelicans were a man over and needed to make a cut, and I think everyone knows it came down to Alonzo G or Lance Stephenson, and the Pelicans did announce today they have waived Alonzo G, so they're going to eat his $1.4 million minimum contract to bring in Stephenson, who only had $100,000 guaranteed. I'm not sure what the rest of the contract details are for him, probably similar to that minimum 1.4 in that somewhere range. I don't know exactly where he falls, but basically this is a move the Pelicans had to make. With Holiday out to start the year, with Pondexter out to start the year, and Evans out to start the year, they need someone who's a little bit more dynamic with the ball in his hands. You know, Stephenson can defend a couple of positions as well. There's not a ton of upside here, but he seemed to make more sense than G did. I know there's been talk of how G is friends with Anthony Davis, but we've seen over the course of the NBA that signing a guy's friends don't necessarily keep him there. Look what happened in Cleveland when LeBron was there the first time. With Chris Paul in New Orleans when they brought in Jarrett Jack because they were such good buddies. That doesn't matter. They needed to keep a guy on this roster who was going to be able to help them, at least in the short term, till some of these injuries come back healthy, till Holiday comes back after taking care of his wife. It's not really a huge surprise here. And though there's really limited upside and no one should necessarily get excited about this, it's not the end of the world. And this team will be just fine carrying Stevenson on the roster until, you know, they feel they're in a spot where they can either waive him or potentially trade him if he outplays his current deal particularly well, and a team might have interest in him. And that'll be somewhere around December 15th when he's able to be traded, potentially at least. But so that's the news of the day, is Alonzo G has been cut and Lance Stevenson is on the roster. So maybe we'll see a little bit more entertainment in terms of his quirkiness out on the court. Might make it a little bit more fun to go to games. So the depressing part of the Locked On Pelicans preview week, and that's going to be what's going to be bad with this team. And frankly, there's a lot. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you all. I'll cheer you all up tomorrow, but today we got to dive into kind of some of this nitty-gritty stuff that's not going to be great. So, you know, the first thing that's going to be rough for the Pelicans this year is defense. They're actually good in transition defense, which is one of the harder areas to defend. We're going to touch on that more tomorrow, but the rest of the defense, especially in the half court, is absolutely brutal. And preseason didn't show any signs of that changing. They gave up the most points per game in preseason. Their defensive rating was 105.7. It was slightly better than last year's 107.3 defensive rating, but 105.7 is bad. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This was not good. A lot of that comes because the communication still hasn't been there on defense that this Pelicans team has been talking about. Solomon Hill has talked about this especially. He's out there to communicate more. Prior to him being on this team, the only guy who shouted anything out and talked on defense, and you can hear this when you're in the Smoothie King Center, when you're at the games, you can really hear them talking, and the Pelicans are just silent on that. And the only guy who did that before Solomon Hill was Omer Asik, and frankly, most of these guys have been in the league for a while now. Buddy Hield, Chuck Diallo are the only rookies, the only real young guys now on this team. And it's tough to break people out of habits to all of a sudden have them communicating, to have the basketball IQ to recognize what's going on around you. That's going to be rough for this team. Hill's not going to fix it himself. Clearly, the preseason, he wasn't able to fix it himself. And perimeter defense, though he's going to stop guys a little bit more, you're not going to have small forwards and shooting guards burning the Pelicans constantly as much as they have in the past. Solomon Hill doesn't fix everything himself, and this is going to take a while to get these defensive principles down. And these are some of the basics. Talk. Keep your head on a swivel. Look for backdoor cutters. Shout out where they're coming from. Pelicans don't do these little simple things well, and it's tough to see how they're going to improve on defense significantly if you're not getting these basics down. Defensive rebounding is also potentially going to be a problem, especially when the Pelicans go to a small lineup. And I talked about this last week. Anthony Davis doesn't guard centers on defense, though he may be listed as a center in the offense, and he might be, say, the tallest guy on the court for the Pelicans. He's only playing center on offense. He's not playing it on defense. Last season, Ryan Anderson would defend most centers while Anthony Davis took the power forwards. So he's really not playing. He's playing center half the time he's being listed out there. It's not nearly as significant as some people make it out to be. So because he's defending power forwards, teams know to take him outside of the paint by playing a stretch four. Play a guy who's deadly on the perimeter. Anthony Davis needs to at least step out of the paint so he can close out on this guy should he get an open three-point shot. This leaves Ryan Anderson. Now it's probably going to be Terrence Jones, Solomon Hill, or Dante Cunningham to defend a center on the inside. They're not going to be able to out-rebound that guy, unfortunately. Though, you know, the three I mentioned, Hill, Jones, and Cunningham aren't great defensive rebounders to begin with. Anderson was at least decent. Those three are below average. That's going to be a problem. This Pelicans team is going to give up a lot of offensive boards at times when Omer Asik isn't out there. And, you know, frankly, playing Asik has its own detriment on the other side of the ball on offense. So when you know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation for the Pelicans here. They're in a no-win scenario. So they're going to get out-rebounded. They're going to give second-chance points up to opposing teams. If you're a struggling defense, you need to limit that as much as possible. And should the Pelicans want to, say, gang rebound and send people at the basket, they're not going to be able to get in transition and play in pace and the speed that Alvin Gentry wants, because everyone's going for the board, teams are going to be able to get back, get set. If they're foregoing offensive rebounding because the Pelicans are sending three or four guys to grab those boards to ensure there's no second chance points. This is a tough situation for Alvin Gentry to try and coach his way out of. I don't know what Darren Erman's going to do about it either. You know, we haven't seen a great look from this team in preseason. Part of that was due to some of the injuries. Things might change when Holiday gets back and, you know, Evans and Pondexter get back, Pondexter especially. But right now, this team is kind of in no man's land on what should they do, what should they not do. I don't have an answer, and hopefully we'll see some improvement or get an idea of what the answer might be or what the Pelicans are going to try and do on Wednesday night against the Denver Nuggets. I'm going to surprise you a little bit with the last area where I really think the Pelicans could struggle, and it's not going to be for the majority of the season. It'll only be really kind of during certain parts of games, specific times. And I think you're also going to see a lot of offensive stagnation from the Pelicans. They looked good on offense in the preseason. They were 11th in points per game. They were 6th in assists per game, showing they're getting that more ball movement that they want from their role players, from the starters, from everyone. There's more passing going along. Tim Frazier's looking pretty good to, you know, hold the fort down until Jrue Holiday gets back. But they only put up 100.5 offensive rating compared to a 103.2 offensive rating last season. That's with on Holiday on a minutes restriction, not playing back-to-backs. That's with Evans only playing about a quarter of the year, Anthony Davis missing all of the games he did, Ryan Anderson missing games here or there. That's with a lot of good offensive players out. This Pelicans team, you know, while still a little bit more healthy, let's say, is actually taking a step back on offense, despite the more passing, despite more assists. A lot of this has to do is there's a lot of shooting on this team in Buddy Hield, Etwan Moore, Langston Galloway is a pretty good three-point shooter. Frazier can hit his open threes if he's left open. Terrence Jones has ranged from three. So does Anthony Davis. There's a lot more shooting on this team than they've really had in years past. Those guys tend to go through rough stretches. It's going to happen for every shooter unless you're really Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. There will be rough patches, and when there are rough patches, I worry about this team's ability to score. Anthony Davis is the only guy who can get to the rim reliably right now. He's the only guy who can really reliably draw free throws to get the Pelicans into the bonus, to make it a little bit easier on him. If other guys are averaging one or two free throws a game, that's really going to hurt this team. Other than Tyreke Evans, you know, when he's healthy, there's no one who attacks the basket, you know, as much as Davis does. This is, you know, one of the reasons they're keeping Lance Stephenson on this roster as opposed to Alonzo G. And, you know, that move's kind of short-sighted, but this is what they need to do. So this past week on Locked On NBA, which is the podcast on the Locked On network here that covers the entirety of the league, that gives you a bit of a more national overview, you know, a better idea of the 30 teams in the league, they've done Eastern and Western Conference previews, and there's four total. You should absolutely listen to them. They're with the head of the network, David Locke. And I was on there, you know, we all sent a clip in on our team answering a couple of questions. And when I was on there talking about the Pelicans, it's in the Western Conference preview number two. David Locke said after that, he thinks this team might have the worst offense in the Western Conference based off the metrics he uses. And after they lost Ryan Anderson, after they lost Eric Gordon, even though they've brought in some other guys, it's hard to say that that might not be the case. I wouldn't go that far personally just yet. But there's going to be times when the shooters aren't making their shots, as will happen. And Davis can't carry this team just by himself. He needs some help. And I worry that the Pelicans are going to struggle to provide that at times for him. Another area where the Pelicans are probably going to struggle is injuries. They're already behind the eight ball on this. Holiday is out for personal reasons. No one's going to fault him on that whatsoever. It sounds like his wife did have surgery last week. It's going to take a while to see the results of that. You know, you're looking at a best case scenario of him coming back in mid-November, but I think personally, this is not based on any information whatsoever. I think it'll take longer. I don't know if he's going to be necessarily in any rush to get back as much as he'd like to be here. But he's out. Tyreke Evans, who I'm not particularly high on and is fit with this team, is suspect at best, is still a needed guy to generate some offense, to get to the line, to generate free throws. He's out for an undetermined amount of time. We might not see him till December or January, potentially. We have no idea. Quincy Pondexter has been out for over a year now. He's looking at around 16 months. He hasn't played basketball. That's going to be rough as well. He's a guy who can shoot the corner through, who was a bit of a wing stopper. He significantly helped the Pelicans get into the playoffs 2 years ago. Without him, they don't make it. Without him playing on the injured knee, they don't make it. Was it maybe a short-sighted move for his career and the team long term? Yeah, but he felt he had to do it at the time. But right now, this team isn't going in at full strength. This is why they had to keep at least one of Alonzo G or Lance Stephenson, because they couldn't afford an open roster spot to improve this team down the line, because then you're playing with four guys out already if you keep an open spot. It made no sense. You know, this team's already banged up. You can use injuries as an excuse for last season. You know, they missed the most in the league. They had 41 different starting lineups, and already we're seeing this kind of happen again. They just can't catch a break. So injuries are still there. It's still going to be a problem for the Pelicans. There's no reason to expect Anthony Davis to play a full season. If you get 75 games out of Anthony Davis, this team will be thrilled. There's no reason to expect it. And the last thing that's going to really make the Pelicans potentially struggle is there aren't a ton of trade assets on this team. I know Pelicans fans like to overrate their own guys. I think every team's fans like to overrate their own guys and overvalue them and think they're worth more than they are. This Pelicans team cupboard is pretty bare when it comes to trade assets, and that is the unfortunate truth. You know, Tyreek Evans, everyone wants to trade him. No team wants him. They tried to trade him last year when he was healthy and there were no takers. Now he's going to be out for potentially around a full season of games missed. He's on an expiring deal. Those are not two things that add up to a big trade asset. We saw last year that expirings are not worth what they once were. You know, an injured guy coming back who's on an expiring, you're taking back longer term salary if you trade him, which is not the route the Pelicans need to go right now. The real only asset they have is their future first-round picks, and we saw maybe Dell Demps doesn't want to keep going that route. It's hurt this team in the past from a team-building perspective. They haven't been able to bring in youth and, you know, have developed guys. The only guys that they've developed on this team so far is Anthony Davis. You can't count Buddy Hield or Cheick Diallo just yet. So really, they don't have a lot of opportunities to improve this roster as the season goes on. Dell Demps is proven he's pretty good at getting second round picks, flipping those for somebody, but those aren't, you know, like dynamic shifting moves. These aren't anything that are going to massively change the makeup of this team, how they play, and their playoff chances. Demps, I guarantee you, will make a few little moves throughout the season. You might see him do something where he just, you know, trades a guy and ends up making a $300,000 profit for the team, as we've seen last year with the trade with Miami and other little moves he makes. But none of these are going to be dynamic, game-changing moves. He just doesn't have the ability to do it unless he's surrendering that future first-round pick. Buddy Hield, you know, the Pelicans thought of him very highly. I don't know if he was thought around with other teams is that high as the Pelicans did this past draft. I don't know if he's going to command a lot. And frankly, you don't want them giving up on the first round pick they just drafted right away. You don't want to necessarily mortgage your entire future for a quick short-term success. You've got to get this team into the playoffs in the second half of Anthony Davis's contract. And show him you're committed to winning, because they are on the clock a little bit right now when it comes to him. The time is going to start ticking down, and it's going to creep up on everybody much sooner than they realize. So, unfortunately, this is not a good year for the Pelicans. They're going to be in transition. They're not going to be able to remake this roster in midseason. They're not going to be able to trade for another big, like, say, Vucevic from the Magic, who I think would be the best fit of guys they might be attainable. But you're trading a first-round pick for him. No one wants Tyreek Evans. No one wants Alexi Ajinsa. He's looked near unplayable this preseason right now. I don't know if you could give him away for a second-round pick. He still costs money, and no one necessarily wants to pay him the $5 million a year. And this isn't even touching on Omer Asik, who the Pelicans aren't going to be able to move at all, and who might have one of the worst contracts in the league at the time. So it's not adding up to a very rosy trade deadline for the Pelicans this coming season. I know, it was a lot of negativity today, but we needed to get it out there. Maybe it'll be a little bit cathartic to say it out loud, and I'm sure that has something to do with voodoo curses, saying it out loud. It can't hurt you anymore, though. I think the Pelicans will be hurt by these type of things this year. So sorry to depress you on a Monday. Tomorrow, it's going to be way rosier, way more optimistic. I promise you that. There are some really great things to look forward to with this Pelicans team this year, so don't forget to tune in tomorrow as well. Don't forget to tune in every day. You know, you can subscribe on iTunes, on Audio Boom. You can get this downloaded to your phone if you're in the car. I had someone ask me about that this past weekend. Get it on your phone. Plug your phone into your car. Listen while you're driving to or from work. We're coming to you 5 days a week here on Locked On Pelicans. You're not going to get this type of insight on a daily basis like this anywhere else. One of the things I'm particularly fond of doing is breaking down play on the court. I'm going to do that for you guys too once the season starts. And, you know, we actually have stuff that we can analyze as opposed to preseason where it means very little at times. But I'm going to break down the play on the court. Why is this team playing well? Why are they not throughout the year for you? I guarantee you, you're not going to get that anywhere else whatsoever. So make sure you're subscribing to Locked On Pelicans. Make sure you're listening to Locked On Saints. If you're a big football fan, they're doing great stuff over on that podcast. I listen to it daily myself. Don't forget the Locked On NBA to get an idea of what's going on around the league. You know, if you want to be a smart basketball fan, you can't just focus in on the Pelicans. There's a lot of wonderful things going on around the league, and you want to make sure you're caught up and know what's going on there. So thanks for listening today, everybody. I'm Jake Madison, your host. At Nola Jake on Twitter. I'm a writer for Bourbon Street Shots as well. Don't forget to listen to the Locked On NBA Western Conference preview. It's the second one. That's where I'm talking about the Pelicans. Get an idea of how they fall within the league as a whole. It's some great insight on there as well. I was really happy to do that. Very proud to be part of all of this. So tomorrow, I won't depress you. I'm going to make you feel good and happy about this Pelicans team. There are some great, wonderful bright spots on this team going forward. And we'll talk to you then. Have a good Monday, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.